Excellent. It is noon on Thursday, July 11th, and I call to order this meeting of the Administration Finance Issues Committee meeting of the Orange County Water District. And with that, a roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Roll call, Director Yeo, Director Nguyen, Director Mesqua,
present,
Director Meeks, Director Whitaker,
here.
Director Wigand?
Here.
Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Sheldon?
Present.
Director Tran? Director Green? You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Mr. Acting General Manager, are there any items received too late to have been agendized?
Oh, we do have a general manager on Zoom.
Yes, Mr. Kennedy.
Hi, Mr. Chair. I've stepped out of a meeting I'm at UCI. But there are no new items for the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Time for visitor participation. All right. No hands virtually either, I take it. We have consent calendar items 1 through 7. So if anyone has a question or a comment on that, or I would entertain a motion.
I'll entertain a motion.
Okay, great.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Sheldon.
Eligible committee member.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm pretty low on the priority poll, so we'll see.
No, you're right. I'm not sure. I'll leave it to the clerk.
You're good, Director Sheldon.
Okay.
You're numero 5.
I appreciate the affirmation.
So roll call, please, on the consent calendar.
Roll call, Director Mesqua.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. So item number 8, we have possible producers well construction loan program. This will be presented by Randy. Is that correct?
I'm going to start it. So this item's coming out of a recent exec committee meeting, and it's for discussion of what if we were to have a possible producer's new well construction loan program. So we want to throw out what it would mean, what's the purpose, and what it would take to do such a thing. So as you know, the current BPP is at 85%, and not all the producers can hit 85% right now. So some of them would need excess pumping capacity. Things come up like well maintenance, rehabilitation. Sometimes the water quality issues come up to where they need more redundancy and flexibility with additional wells to be able to hit that 85%. And at this point in time, we have the groundwater basin, which is in great shape, back-to-back wet years. We've had reduced pumping and without revenues past couple of years because of PFAS. And because of all this, we are currently offering a $200 discount to the BEA for most producers. So point being is not all the producers can currently take advantage of that offer. It's always ideal that they can be able to hit 100%. There might be future years where the BPP increases, or just dealing with having that redundancy and flexibility for the items mentioned with to get there. Some of them might need some help to be able to construct new wells. So things to consider, we would be prioritizing new well construction to get to that 100% BPP mark. About 5-6 years ago, this was looked at. It didn't get implemented. It was a much higher number of wells proposed. Water demands have been a little lower. So we're estimating it could be about 15 wells over a 10-year period, kind of a couple wells here and there every year. We're looking at some options of maybe being a 30-year term to repay it, where it would be a cost neutral to the district, basically matching our rate of returns of what we would be charging them. So Randy's group, Randy came up with some funding source options. Did you want me to just go through it?
I can do it.
Okay, sure.
So there's multiple options here for funding. The first being increase the RA. So $3 on the RA roughly equates to about $1 million of revenue for the district. So if we were to increase the RA $33, that would generate $11 million roughly a year of additional revenue to fund this. And we would have that for 10 years, getting about $110 million to fund the proposed or projected 15 wells currently. And then at the end of that time, we would drop the RA $33 because we would no longer need that revenue source for this program. The other thing partially funds some of this is lowering reserves. And the other thing is we had the commercial paper program. So we can draw on the commercial paper program up to $70 million. So another possible funding source for this. Currently, we're a little over 3.5%. We're 3.65% for that tax-exempt debt. And then the other thing with the commercial paper is if we wanted to ease the impact on the RA, we could take a longer period than 10 years to pay back that principal. So a little flexibility with the RA increase on that. And then we could use a combination of any of these components to generate the funds for this program. We would have to be a little bit careful with issuing debt and lowering reserves. We want to make sure that doesn't have a negative effect on our AAA credit rating.
Right. And I do want to point out that yesterday at the producers meeting, we brought it up that this item was coming to Admin Finance, and there were several producers who expressed interest immediately that this would be a great thing, and they were really appreciative of it. So today, the recommendation, if the committee is okay, we would like to request the direct staff to proceed with those producer discussions to find out who would like this program, how many would be interested, and to what capacity. We could take any questions.
Very good. Any questions or comments by directors?
John has a question.
Sure, please. Go ahead, John.
No, thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to add that we want the producers to be able to pump up to 100% of their water demands. We want them to have redundancy. You know, we've set the BPP at 85 now. But if you're a producer and if you have a well that may go out or you may have a water quality with an issue, you may not be able to pump up to the BPP. So we want producers to have extra pumping capacity to generally have the ability to pump 100% of their demands. Another issue is PFAS is a great example where PFAS took out a lot of wells in our service area and total groundwater pumping, you know, declined significantly for a couple of years there. And we had a lot less revenues than we were expecting because of the decline in pumping. But if we had producers who had excess pumping capacity, that decline we experienced because of PFAS would not have been as great, and pumping could have been more than what we experienced over the last couple of years. So in general, it's good for the groundwater basin that producers have like a lot of pumping capacity just in general too. And it also allows them to participate in programs that we put out. Chris mentioned that we've reduced the BEA last year and this year to encourage producers to pump over the BPP, but we're not getting as great a participation as we would like. So yeah, in general, it's great for the Orange County Water District that the producers have a lot of pumping capacity. And this program would help allow that. Thanks.
Thank you. I have a couple questions, but I want to hear from anyone else.
Director Wiegand has his hand raised.
Sure. Director Wiegand, please.
Yeah, I was just curious. It was mentioned that there was several that producers that were immediately interested. Would you be able to share them, or is it not appropriate to?
No, it's fine. Like Westminster was interested, Seal Beach. And Fullerton's interested. Newport Beach is definitely interested. And I'm pretty sure Huntington is interested also.
Cool. Thank you.
You can add Yorba Linda to that list.
Thanks, <Doug. laughs>
Nice. Thank you so much.
Sounds like they're selling
a... I have a question, Mr. Chairman, or I have a comment, sure. Actually.
Yes, go ahead.
So you can kind of thank or blame me for this idea. I have met with the staff about it several times. We just got to make sure that we're not we're not subsidizing a producer that is just rehabbing a well that needs to be rehabbed, or that this is being used to actually increase pumping, and not just giving out cheap money to people that should be maintaining the wells as they are. So I just want to make sure this is going to be accretive to pumping for the producers. That's all. Thank you.
Is there any safeguard or check on that?
That will be built into the agreement that we develop.
Okay.
But Mr. Chair, if I can add, we definitely would prioritize what Director Bilodeau just said there, that this is to increase groundwater pumping. But I can tell you, we might expect a couple producers to actually come to us and ask if we could help provide financing for replacement wells. But our response to that was, well, the board is going to prioritize new wells to increase pumping in general. But every application would go to the board, and the board would decide at that time.
Thank you. Director Sheldon, I saw a hand there. Do you have something?
Thank you, Chairman Whitaker. Following up on Director Bilodeau's question or comment, what do you contemplate the criteria will be to receive the fund, to receive the loan?
Well, the criteria would just be, is it a new well? Would it allow you to pump a higher BPP? If you currently can pump 85%, would another well or an additional two wells allow you to pump 100%? I think that would be the general criteria that we would want to see, that it's just giving them more pumping capacity. They could pump more groundwater every year. So I think that's what we're aiming at for sure.
Okay, so if I could repeat back, the first tranche of money would be available to those that are going to exceed the 85%?
I think in general, yes, but I just wanted to warn the board that I know one producer right now will probably write us a letter saying, can we help them fund replacement wells? And we can tell them no. We could tell them this program is oriented toward new wells and new pumping, and replacement well funding is on the producer. But I just wanted the board to be aware of that.
Are all the producers that you mentioned or that you stated earlier, are they all at 85%?
No.
Okay. Okay, so we'll have that criteria in the information that's sent back to the producers.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, and lastly, Mr. Chair, I think that the location in the basin should be criteria as well. I'm happy to hear that Seal Beach would like to participate.
That's a good point. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
And if I can add, Seal Beach right now is 100% on imported water. All of their wells have failed and are not working for different reasons. Yeah. And so Seal Beach could be a producer who would ask us to help them get funding for replacement wells. And so, you know, that would be, it'd be kind of a case by case response, and the board could decide. So.
If I could add to that, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, if I make a comment.
Go ahead.
Question. And of course, you're going to look at whether that pumping would potentially have a contribute toward any seawater intrusion into the aquifer from Seal Beach?
Yeah, Seal Beach's wells are more northerly. Their main well is north of the 405 freeway.
Okay.
And so in general, we would want Seal Beach pumping to help reduce underflow losses to LA County.
They're close to Long Beach, exactly. They're close to Long Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Seal Beach could go from 0 to 100 pretty rapidly. They're probably not a huge volume raiser, but any other questions? Okay, I had a couple things for clarification. One is that the past few years, it was my understanding, let me know if something has changed, that the cost to construct a new well has greatly increased, right?
That's correct.
And my second assumption would be that a lot of these wells that people would be seeking would probably be at a deeper level than what they have currently. So,
case by case, I think in general, they're probably going to be in the 1,000-foot depth range if the main aquifer.
So they wouldn't go deeper to avoid PFAS so much. That could be a factor in the cost of it.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Okay, no, I just wanted that for clarification. Any other comments or questions by directors on this? It sounds as though it's a popular product that you're planning on marketing. And I trust that Randy will keep us on the right side as far as our credit rating, right? But I could see easily, even with the increase in the BPP, the volume differential, it would be a win-win all the way around, really, right? Especially if people have lower than 85 percentage, it'll be advantageous for all of them to get up to that.
A vote on the action?
Yes. So we'll do that. I would entertain a motion to approve this, I guess, further communication with producers, right?
Madam I'll Mayor? Make a motion. I don't hear anybody. I'll make a motion.
I second.
Okay, moved and seconded. With that, roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Mizqua.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Wiegand.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Sheldon. That motion carries 5-0.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I'm going to go back to my meeting here at UCI.
Thanks, Mr. General Manager. Have a great meeting.
Okay.
Okay, with that, we are at item number 9, which sounds like an interesting one here, a workplace violence prevention program. I didn't know we had a problem.
We have Paula Quinones, he's going to give us presentation.
Yes, welcome, Paula.
Let me get out of the way so you can sit with me.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I think there's a new law that we have to implement.
But it is an election year. You know?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to give you an overview. Governor Newsom signed SB 553 into law, and beginning July 1st, all California employers are required to implement and maintain an effective workplace violence prevention plan, which includes the plan has to be in writing, easily accessible to all employees and union, in effect at all times in all work areas, and specific to the hazards and corrective measures for each work area and operation. So exceptions include establishments that have fewer than 10 employees, but not accessible to the public. Employees teleworking from location of their choice, and healthcare facilities, because they have their own workplace violence in healthcare facilities. Workplace violence is identified as an act of violence or threat of violence that occurs in a place of employment, including threat or use of physical force against an employee that results or has a high likelihood of resulting in an injury, psychological trauma, or stress, regardless of whether the employee sustains any injury. Also, it's an incident involving a threat or use of firearm or other dangerous objects, including common objects found in the workplace as weapons, regardless of whether the employee sustains any injuries. Workplace violence does not include lawful acts of self-defense. The law identifies four types of workplace violence. Type one is violence committed by a person who has no legitimate business being in the workplace. Example is an active shooter. Type two, violence directed against an employee by a vendor, contractor, student, visitor. Type three is violence against an employee by present or former employee, supervisor, or manager. Type four is violence committed by a person who does not work there, but has or is known to have had a relationship with the employee. These are some of the elements required to be included in the workplace violence prevention program. Ensuring that employees comply with the written plan, the program, conducting workplace violence hazard identification and evaluation, as well as ongoing inspections. Implementing hazard correction in a timely manner. That's basically based on risk assessment. Employee access to the plan and involvement in the development and implementation. Effective communication between employees, supervisors about workplace violence, basically to facilitate continuous flow of information without the employees having fear of reprisal. Coordination with other employers, such as if we have a temp working here, we need to communicate with that employer about our workplace violence. Procedure for post-incident response and investigation, emergency response, conducting annual training. This is one of the standards that require annual training. Implementation of a violent incident log, review and revision of the workplace violence prevention plan, maintaining records and reporting serious injuries and fatalities to Cal OSHA. Record keeping is kind of interesting because it's requiring certain records to be maintained for 5 years. This includes the violence hazard identification, evaluation, and correction, as well as the violent incident investigation and the violent incident log. Also, employees that request to have the records of hazard identification, evaluation, correction, or training records or violent incident log, the employee and or the representative would have that information within 15 calendar days upon request. So we worked with OCIAC, the Orange County Intelligence Assessment Center, to do an assessment, a hazard assessment for Fountain Valley, Anaheim, and Prado. And they provided us the recommendations based on their walkthrough and their assessment. These are just a couple of highlights. One of them is having a designated person to focus on security cameras, security issues for all locations without distraction of additional responsibility. According to them, this is a key to mitigate critical incident. Ensuring safety and security at field headquarters by requiring badge access to the two gates that remain open throughout the day. They're big gates, they remain open because vehicles come in and out of those facilities. But unfortunately, we've had some unwanted vehicles come through there because it's right by the fishing area. FEQ main entry door should have a panic bar hardware. The existing door, if you're inside and you walk near the door, it opens up automatically, unlocks it basically. So they feel having the, and that's due to fire safety codes, but having the panic bar would eliminate that concern. Adding door window coverings, especially at entryways at Fountain Valley and field headquarters, this covering increases the strength of the glass doors and windows to delay entry by an active shooter. Also obscures objects within the building to reduce the risk of theft. These are some of the items that were completed. Back in 2016, OCIAC did an assessment for us. We requested an assessment to kind of, it was way before the workplace violence requirement, but we kind of wanted to get an understanding of, are there any gaps in our process and what do we need to do to improve it? So we were ahead of the game on that. Based on the recommendations, we've implemented quite a lot with the help of management and the board. We have a security guard at the guard shack, perimeter fencing in Fountain Valley, updated camera system, 24/7 roving guard at Forbay. This guard also provides escort to staff who perform work in unsafe locations. For example, our water quality staff goes out into different locations and sometimes they're right next to a homeless encampment, so the security guard escorts them. upgraded access control system, updated emergency response procedure, including tabletop drills, and additional surveillance and trespassing signs. That's a quick overview of our workplace violence prevention plan and program. We have implemented the plan. We provided training for the employees, and we have the forms, and we're following up on some of the recommended actions.
I read here that this becomes really functional and required in about 2.5 years. It's the end of December 2026. Is that what I read?
It's functional now as of July 1st, OSHA can cite. But OSHA, based on, because it became part of the labor code, but OSHA does not have a standard. So the governor put this in place before OSHA can develop a standard. So OSHA will develop a standard by 2026. So at least they'll have guidelines on what this is. Yeah, a little more vague. That's right. They put the cart before the horse.
Any questions or comments by the directors at this point?
Thank you for your time.
I was a little bit interested there at our lobby at City Hall in our city. We have the doors that open automatically if you get near. And of course, they're sliding doors, so they're not really amenable to panic hardware. So this is going to make some contractors quite active. And one other question I had on it, I'm not really familiar with how much coverage we have with our security cameras at present. This seems likely that it will require an upgrade or an enhancement or additional for this. Is that possible?
The security camera system is good. It's just what they're recommending is someone to be able to be proactive and monitor them and monitor, you know.
It does sound even more comprehensive than all possible work sites. We have a pretty large area, and I'm just wondering whether we already have comprehensive coverage or if it'll require enhancement.
Yeah, we have pretty good coverage already. Yeah. We've worked with risk and safety at all the operational facilities. Not only to have cameras and angles for something like this, but also to protect our assets. We have a lot of remote assets that we've had vandalism in the past. So we have good coverage at all the key facilities. And so I think that's another step towards being ahead of the curve on this coming forward. But it was for other reasons, but it serves this purpose.
Valuable for workers' comp situations.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead, Director Sheldon.
Those recommendations, or those, the list that you gave us, that was from the consultant. That's not a requirement from the law, is it?
Those are recommendations from the Orange County Intelligence Agency, OCIAC, and the law says that you need to do an assessment, you need to evaluate, and you need to implement corrective actions. So that's what we are in the process of doing.
So what does that mean? We have to implement those recommendations?
Based on reviewing the recommendations and the risk to our employees and to the district, we will implement them based on risk category.
I don't understand what that answer means.
I'm sorry.
Do we have to implement those recommendations?
Are we going to do them all or just
the higher risk ones? Yes.
The one that caught my attention was the full-time employee to monitor the cameras. Is that correct?
That's one of the recommendations, correct.
Would we have to implement that?
Not necessarily. So what Paul is saying is that we'll evaluate any of those recommendations and then come back to the board, and it'll really be the board's discretion as to whether they implement certain recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this was an MO. Madam Mayor, you have a question?
Yes, I do. So thank you for the presentation. And I think whether it's brought forward by the governor or not, it's important to have these things in place for the safety of our employees. And OCIAC is a very, it's a great organization, great law enforcement. Their recommendations are highly respectful. All those officers come with lots of experience. And so if we do need to secure sites and make sure that we're doing the right thing, as far as I'm concerned. And somebody mentioned workers' comp earlier. And I would like us to take a moment to think about what is the cost for workers' comp and the lawsuit compared to just securing a site. You're going to pay big, pay now, pay later, I always say. So I'm glad that we did the assessment, and I look forward to hearing what changes we've made to secure our sites and to make sure our employees are safe. So thank you.
Thank you.
And seeing nothing further at this point, that was an informational item. I appreciate the presentations. And now we get to the fun stuff, monthly cash disbursements reports. Anything to comment on with this, Randy?
Nothing. The information is contained in the back end.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, with that, we have completed our agenda. So I would direct that these items be placed on our consent calendar at our next Board of Directors meeting, which is July 17th. Okay. And with that, there's nothing further. We are adjourned.